India and the lead-up games. Either we're playing badly or the rest of the world have caught up, Carl.
Let's roll into the dig.
The dig. Dial before you dig. The essential first step.
Now, Hayes, dial before you dig, the essential first step. What is the whole idea about having a game on Monday with the world's best female cricketers, and let's face it, we've got some very, very talented players, being played when there's only about as many at this game? It's the best female cricketers in the world that were at our charity game. Mm. There's about 3,000 there. I mean, maybe five at the most, I reckon, just looking at all of the coverage that I've watched today and tonight. I mean,
well, I'll tell you why.
Why are they playing right now? There's a doubleheader, right? And it involves Australia. And you've got people who have finished work now. And at 6 o'clock, they got some chance to go and pick the kids up from school and go along to the cricket and take them down and see the best girls play. But they're dumb.
Same reason, Carl, as we play AFL games here at a certain time that suits the East Coast. Even the Perth Wildcats have gone through this. It's not good enough, and they did try and fill the WACA. That was the campaign that was put out by WACA officials. Well, you can't fill it if you're starting at 3 o'clock because the kids who want to follow their heroes can't make it unless they leave school.
But that's all well and good. But time zone in India and Bangladesh is very similar to what our time zone is here, right? So India and Bangladesh are playing now. Why couldn't have they had the India and Bangladesh game earlier in the day, if we're going to work it that way, and have Australia taking on Sri Lanka now? I mean, in the end, it turned out to be a great game. There was some poor fielding by the Sri Lankans that you've pointed out. I mean, they dropped three catches late, and they've ended up winning Australia by 5 wickets with only 4 balls to spare. But it could have very easily been different.
Would have been an embarrassment, too.
They had, and this is something about, and I don't really like this, and I reckon we should roll in the man-cad discussion here too, Hayes, but they had used their review, Sri Lanka, so they didn't get to use one when Lanning was given not out, when clearly the ball had hit the bat. The umpire gave it not out. Because they'd used their reviews, Lanning gets away with one, she stays there, and in the end, she was the difference.
Yep, we want to roll in that man-cad discussion. We saw it last night in the England game. Catherine Brunt, she was the bowler, but she opted not to do it on this occasion. Now, I hate the look of the man CAD when they run in and they try to run out the opposition batsman or batswoman in this case. And I think something needs to be done by the ICC to fix this. I'm not sure exactly what it is, but I welcome callers tonight. How can we fix batsmen that are trying to get an unfair advantage? Because at the end of the day, that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to get an extra metre or two. And when we're talking about the small margins involved in winning or losing T20 fixtures, I think something like maybe a warning from the umpire, or two or three warnings, of where you're trying to get an unfair advantage, you're out. How does that sit with you, Carl? Or how do we fix this scenario? Because right now, I think everybody's a bit frustrated with it, and it's a real bad look at the game.
Me? Just run them out. If they want to
allow it?
If they want to back up, and be running halfway down the pitch before you've even bowled the ball, which I saw numerous times when I was bowling, Hayes, then just run them out. Now, I would always give them a warning first, but as far as I'm concerned,
the bowler would give them a warning?
Yeah, I'm happy to give them a warning once. I'll tell them. I said, mate, I'll say to you, hey, straight up, if you want to leave the crease early, that's fine, but next time, I'm running you out. So you let them know. I think that's sportsmanship. I reckon that's something that you can take in to your own, the way that you want to play the game and the spirit of the game, if you like. But, mate, I'll be given a warning, and then next time, mate, ta-da, the goose. And I wouldn't have any sympathy if I've done it that way. Don't dig yourself into a hole. Lodge a free dial before you dig inquiry if you'd like to have your dig tonight. I've got this one from Dean. He says, guys, love the show. Have a massive gripe about AFLW. I love women's sport. I'm a big supporter. I love the Matildas, the Aussie women's cricket team. I reckon they wow the crowd. And netball is always and has always been thrilling to watch. In particular, I think us blokes can learn a thing or two about how sport should be played. There's no dummy spits, no faking, no sledging. All in all, it's a refreshing change to see true sportsmanship. It's exciting to watch, and sportswomen to the ilk of Elise Perry and Meg Lanning and Sam Kerr, who are true role models for young girls. And if my 3-year-old daughter is inspired, this is a great thing. Now, I'm truly getting sick and tired of everyone pretending that AFLW is worthy of the same exposure with the words like AFLW star being rammed down our throats at every opportunity. I applaud the effort of the women playing the sport. Nobody can deny the passion displayed, but the game is a as a spectacle, utterly deplorable. 9221882. Do you want to have a dig like Dean has at that, or do you have a different opinion? 9221882. Tony from Stirling joins us here on Sports Day. Welcome.
Oh, hi. How are you going, Carl? I've got 2 points, and then I'll hang up and listen to the comment. The Bombers, they won't win a premiership for 2 decades. And if the Fremantle women's team win a premiership before the males, that's a disgrace as well. On the boys' behalf. Poor Hazeby, what do you think about that?
If the women win a premiership before the guys. I don't know if it's a disgrace. We've all tried to get that premiership, but clearly it hasn't occurred. But let's let Fremantle, when they come in, it wasn't easy. The West Coast Eagles were in existence. They were dominant. They had the first pick of all the best players in the state, and that's a key reason, I believe, why they were successful. Yes, they're also a very good organisation, but we're seeing the reverse right now, aren't we? We're seeing Fremantle established in the AFLW, the best of all the talent here, although a few got taken over east, and then now we're seeing the West Coast Eagles come in as the second team, get the second best talent available, and the results have been quite similar, where the Dockers struggled early, the Eagles look like they're going to struggle early. I can't see them winning the AFLW premiership within the next two, three, maybe even 4 seasons as well. So, you know, you can't give us a hard time. We aren't happy that we haven't won a premiership, but I'd like to think we are getting closer, even though I don't think it's going to be great this year for the Dockers. I think they're on the right path with some good youngsters showing some form.
Hey, Tony, you're still there. Why do you think that the Bombers won't win a premiership for a couple of decades? Oh, he's gone. That's a bit of a shame. I'd like to see him elaborate a little
bit. Because
they've
got so many injuries again.
Well, they're not the only club. I mean, I spoke about Geelong and saying about their injuries, and Melbourne have, got a few injuries too, but they kicked off their season pretty well, and I thought that Tom McDonald was a player that played pretty well on the weekend, and he had a disastrous season last year. Pete Invicton joined us. G'day, Pete.
G'day, Carl. Hi, how are we?
Good.
Good debut by, talking about the Gold Coast, Jeremy Sharp, a WA boy who got drafted last year, who got missed out getting picked up by West Coast or Fremantle. Kicked one goal too.
He did.
You missed that in the review, Hayes?
Yeah, I was still him. Yep, I'm not convinced he'll play straight away yet. So, good call.
Good debut. And Carl, on the man cad, if we change the no ball back to the back foot rule, it gives the umpire to see the no ball. Plus, also if the batsman's leaving early.
Yeah, I think that you make a really good point, and there's every possibility that that might well take place. Although, given that they've just introduced the technology that they're using now in the Women's T20 World Cup, that might then give the umpire, say, more ability to judge this sort of stuff a little bit better. But, you know, the way I see it is that they are either being instructed to use the technology when it comes to these run-out scenarios. And look, in a mad cad situation, I think it comes down to the actual players themselves. I mean, you can just come in and constantly keep bowling and not worry about it, which is what probably a lot of bowlers actually do. Or if you are one that likes to keep an eye on the opposition player, then, you know, it's the way you go about it. It's whether you just run them out, or it's whether you feel that in your own, you know, your own cricket psyche as to whether you give them a warning. What do you feel about that, Pete?
Oh, I think the warning's definitely warranted, but if you've planted the back foot in the delivery stride, you can then turn around and say, well, you're committed to the bowling action. So,
yeah,
and the batsman goes off in that process, but it then gives the umpire a chance to, in the warning and then second the batsman, say, well, yeah, you're leaving the crease early.
Beautiful, mate. Granted. Thank you for your call, and thanks for getting involved. And if you'd like to join Pete and Tony, you can, 9221882. If you'd like to have a dig at something or someone, and what did you like or dislike out of the weekend? There was so much sport and WA. We'll have a chat to Cam Green. He was the star today. He hit 105 not out. WA at stumps, 6 for 291 against Tasmania. We'll talk to Sam Lane about the AFLW. We'll also have a chat to Dale Amos. He is a assistant coach of the Carlton Football Club and a bloke by the name of William Rollo, who finished second in the solo swim to Rottnest over the weekend. 9221882 is our number, though, and more of your calls next.